You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I tend to do a lot of crying. I'm not a difficult crier.
No.
Get me started, you'll see.
We welcome you to this edition of the Tuesday People podcast. That was the voice of Maury Schwartz, the Maury of Tuesdays with Maury, the book that has inspired this podcast. I am Mitch Albom, the author of that book, and I was sitting alongside Maury when he said that. Alongside me now is Lisa Goitsch, my friend and producer of the podcast. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Mitch. I'm alongside you, but I was actually almost really alongside you. We almost were together.
Yeah, you were in Detroit.
Yep.
But
I was
like
in Detroit.
Ships in the night.
I just left this morning.
Yeah.
So
and you got back to the West Coast in time for the podcast.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's all right, because Zoom makes everything possible, and we might as well. I couldn't actually be as physically close to you as I am right now to the screen without violating a bunch of laws. So I think that,
I know.
We're
our faces
off
are
this
very
way.
Close. Yes,
exactly. So as you could tell by the opening quote, today's show we're going to focus on crying, a highly underrated emotion, I believe, even though people tend to associate crying with high emotion, being so upset that you have to cry, so hysterical that you were crying, so sad that you were crying. We always tend to associate crying with an emotion that's so intense that you can't help but cry, as if you're trying always to stop yourself from crying, and it's only the handful of times that you can't, that your emotions are so high, therefore so sad that you were crying, so grieving that you were crying, so miserable that you were crying, so shocking that you were crying. Maury had a different take on crying, and I think it's a healthier one. Maury saw crying as a normal, needed, necessary, natural, thinking of a lot of other N-words, thing to do. And to cry without shame, which is something that I think men have a big problem with. This is one of those things that we can talk all we want about. Men and women are all the same as we advance in society, but I'm sorry, in this area, they're just not. I'm sure it's probably a little bit of cultural, you know, just sort of how we're taught. But it's, I think, much harder for men to cry. And when they do cry, they're almost embarrassed by it. Listen to what Maury said about that.
I would like to help a lot of people cry. I think it's a very important aspect of life, which we tend to be ashamed of, especially the males. When you see that second tape, you'll see me bawling on the screen.
What kinds of things did you cry over before you got sick?
Well, the biggest thing was my mother's death when I was 8 years old.
Now, the reason that that's interesting is that Maury's mother died when he was 8, and he was still crying about it in his 70s, and wasn't ashamed of the fact that when he would think about it, he would cry. I remember a very seminal moment for me with regard to crying. I cried as a kid, of course, cried when I didn't get my way, cried when, you know, I thought somebody was being mean or my parents were yelling too loud or something like that. And then I think I can say that come my teenage years, I really didn't cry at all, except if maybe I got in some argument with my parents that just really went off the walls and I was so emotional, you know, I was screaming or they got mad at me. If it was once or twice, it was a lot. And then my uncle, who I write about in Tuesdays with Maury, got sick with cancer, and I was very close to him, and I was living up with him at the time in an apartment building just below his, where he was with my aunt and their two little children. And I saw him outside of his wife. I was the last person to see him alive. When at 4 o'clock in the morning, he had to be rushed to the hospital. He was yellow, and they woke me up to take care of the kids. And I came downstairs and took care of the kids, and I walked him to the elevator, and he just looked so sick. And I didn't know what to say. I remember thinking that I may not see him again. I mean, is that possible? And I was only 22 years old, so I didn't really know what death was. And the elevator doors, I remember, started to close like something out of a movie. And I just said to him, "Don't worry, I'll take care of the kids," which in hindsight might have been the best thing I could have said. But I, at the moment, I really didn't know anything else to say. And he died later that morning.
Wow.
And I remember getting the news that he died, and I didn't cry. And I had to tell the kids that their dad had died, and that was where my focus was. And I remember the funeral, and I didn't cry. And I was thinking, what's the matter with me? I clearly love this man. I loved him as much as I loved my father. He was the closest adult to me that I'd ever had in my life, with the exception of my dad. And I didn't cry. And about, gosh, I want to say 4 or 5 months later, I had moved out, and I was living in an apartment in the city of New York, going to school. And it was a Saturday morning, and I had a dream about him, and I woke up, and I started bawling. I mean, just uncontrollable crying. And I think now that it was everything that I had pent up, that for some reason I just had told myself, you can't cry at this moment, you can't cry, yeah, you got to see the kids, you can't cry because you're at the funeral, you can't cry. And it just, it was uncontrollable, and it was wonderful. When I was finally done with it, it felt so cathartic. And that was my first lesson in, like, don't hold back on crying if you can help it, because it's, I don't mean to get religious here, but, you know, there aren't a lot of other animals that cry. I mean, there's some that weep and some that do have tears and all the rest of it, but it's an incredibly human thing to have those emotions, and God gave it to us for some reason. You know, he didn't give us his ability to cry to not use it, just as he didn't give us the ability to speak to be silent all day long. And I have since then tried to let myself cry whenever possible. And I don't mean just because I was sad about something. As Maury points out, there are moments where you cry because you're just overwhelmed with the goodness of something. He gave an example of a woman who offered to pay for some medical equipment for him that he barely knew when he was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease. Here it is.
And not only do I cry out of sorrow, however, I also cry out of deep, deep emotion. A friend came over yesterday. A person, another student, graduate student, very sweet young woman. She said, "Maury, I don't want you not to be able to have what you need because you don't have enough money." I said, "Look, the machine we're talking about, machine that like Hawking uses, could be $10,000 or more, and they don't rent them." And this woman is saying, "She'll give me all the money I need. I know she's very wealthy, but I never was involved with her around her wealth." Well, the point I was making is crying comes out of deep feeling.
So in that case, he cried because he was so moved that this woman he didn't even really know that well was willing to help him. And that's a really good kind of crying too. Have you had that emotion where something so inspiring, something so good, so purely good happens or someone does to you that you just start crying out of appreciation?
Like just about every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
You're on the polar opposite side of this conversation, aren't you?
I'm the polar opposite. I cry out of joy. I cry when somebody does something nice for me. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when other people cry. And I really cry when men cry. Mm. You know, like when I see a man cry, it really gets me. And I think it's because I know it's harder for men to let loose than it is for women. And I always feel that when I see a man cry, it's really something, like something is really hurting them. You know, right. I just went through that with my dad while I was home. My dad is 99 and he's ill right now. And he was kind of going in and out of delirium at the hospital. And it was a little freaky for us because he's never had this issue. You know, his mind has been razor sharp up until like 2 days ago. And he was bringing up all these stories from years ago, spanking my sister for stealing a 39-cent comb. And I hit her too hard. And why did I hit her that hard? Mm. And he was sobbing like where his nose was running and his mouth was all full of spit and from something that happened. I'm not kidding you. My sister's 60 years ago. And it just hit him now, you know, and he lost it. And it really I'm going to cry right now just thinking about it. It really tore me up, you know, and that was only one example in the last 3 days of stuff I saw. It's hard.
Isn't that interesting that your father has kept that memory as a regret? Yeah. And it obviously bothers him so much. Over the years, he's thought about it so much that when it finally comes up, he cries about it, even though I don't think he cried about it at the time. And this is what I mean. Like, there's something inside of us that memories and regrets and sorrows sort of drop down into this well, and they push the water up from the well, and when it finally reaches the top, it comes gushing out of you. I think this happens with women way, 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 way easier than it does with men. But you're right. When it does happen with men, it's big. When our little girl died, Chica, I didn't cry. I teared up a lot when she was sick. Mm-hmm. I teared up in all kinds of moments. I could feel like crying coming. But then it's almost... It's such an unsatisfying feeling to be on the verge of crying and not cry. Yeah. And I would encourage anybody, if you are on like the verge of crying, it's like on the verge of throwing up, get it over with, you know, stick the finger down the throat, whatever it takes, because you will be so much better off when you finally cry. But I didn't, for whatever reason, I couldn't. I was angry. I was angry at fate and God and doctors. I hated every one of them for making Chica have to sleep in this little bed with a monitor on her all the time and oxygen and us having to put this tube down her throat and me having to like suction this goop out of her chest just to get her to keep taking another breath. And when she died,
sad.
When she died, we did, you know, she was Haitian and we had some Haitian women with us and they did a traditional, they sort of clean the body and make sure she looks beautiful. And she was in a beautiful little dress. And then
and
I
that
had
was here in the United States,
here
right?
Here in the States, yes. Yeah. And then I had to carry her from our bedroom to the front door, where out on the, and then out the porch and down to the driveway where the people from the funeral parlor, you know, were waiting. Mm-hmm. And I can't even tell it without tearing up here now, but I had to hand her over. And that just did it. And she, you know, they took her from me and I just remember they were very quick. They shut the door and they drove and I fell to my knees on the concrete of our driveway. I can still feel the stones hitting my knee.
Aww.
And then I started crying. I started howling, so much howling.
Oh,
I think my wife was worried that because she never heard those noises coming out of me. And I just, and but that was really the first time. Now, my wife cried all the time throughout the process. And then, but I, it just built up. And it's not good to let it build up like that. You know, you really should let it out. And it is, like I said before, God gave us this ability to cry so that we can get something that's inside of us out. And
it's
even
a cleansing.
Cleansing, exactly. There's a reason that it's water. And it's not that things feel better when you're done, like, oh, now I'm not grieving anymore, or now I'm not sad anymore. It just feels like you have acknowledged it. And I think that there's a certain sadness that exists in not acknowledging your sadness, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. There's a block. It's like a piece of concrete or something that you know, as long as you don't cry, that's a sadness in and of itself. It's and I remember the voice in my head saying, why can't I cry? Why don't I cry? Why aren't I crying? And that's just a bigger frustration, you know, than the actual crying. And when it finally came out, it was every primal howl that I had against that terrible, terrible occurrence. And I hope nobody ever has to go through that. I know the world will continue to do it, but I wish if I could change probably one thing in the world, I would say no parent should ever bury a child. It should just, we should be some law that, you
horrible.
Know, you have to live until your parents aren't here anymore, you know.
Yeah.
You have to outlive your parents. But the point
That's
of it,
so
I don't
hard.
Mean to sadden anybody, and I don't mean to bring anybody down, but the point of it is that crying is a natural reaction to so many things. On the other hand, I have been at our orphanage in Haiti, where one time I didn't even know what day it was. We were there on a Sunday, and all of a sudden the kids came out, and they all came over to me, and they all started handing me cards. And I'm thinking like, okay, what did I forgot? I gave them an assignment or something. I must have given them an assignment. And they're giving me these bent, they make cards out of crayons and stuff like that, you know. And here, Mr. Mitch. Okay. And I was collecting them, but I wasn't looking at them because they were just coming at me. And finally, I looked down at them, and the first one said, Happy Father's Day.
Aww.
And I didn't know that it was Father's Day. And they had all drawn these beautiful cards. And inside, some of these messages were, you know, Mr. Mitch, happy Father's Day. I'm paraphrasing, but you know, you are my father to me, you know, and I don't know my real father, but I have one because I have you and things like, and I was definitely crying during that.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it wasn't the same, you know, wasn't the same crying as when Chica died and my uncle died, but it was crying just the same. And it was just as cleansing, as you said, such a good word, Lisa. It was just as cleansing to say, this is happiness.
Yeah.
This is happiness coming out of me in such a pure, natural way that it takes a form, and the form is tears. The form is moisture. We don't think of happiness, we think of happiness as a feeling, but there's actually, it can take a form. It can take a form of little beads of water coming out of your eyes and dripping down your cheeks. And that's a miraculous thing and something that we should celebrate. Absolutely celebrate.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
So there's that kind of crying, which is the crying of appreciating joy. You know, you read about people who they were so overwhelmed by the kindness, they cried. They were so overwhelmed by a sunset that they cried. Mm-hmm. They were so overwhelmed by beauty that they cried. They were so overwhelmed when somebody told them that they loved them that they cried. By the way, that sounds like you as I'm saying it, like every day, right?
It's me.
Yeah, the sunset, somebody tells you they love you. Yeah,
it did. It made me think of we were in Antigua, whenever it was, the last time people could travel, a couple of years ago, and we had to let the turtles hatch, you know, every year, and the scientist people brought them to the beach to let out, and they let us people that were on the beach take some of the turtles out to the water. Mm-hmm. And the little tiny turtles are flapping their little things, and oh my God, I was bawling. Or flapper flippers or whatever they are. And they were, I was bawling. Like, I don't know these turtles. I just met them. It wasn't like my pet and I was letting it go off somewhere. Right. These were little turtles and it was just nature and it was so beautiful. And I'm like, I'm taking part in this big thing. And by the way, they come back in like something crazy, like 30 years, they'll come back to nest on that exact beach and they go all the way to like Canada. It's crazy. It's like, I thought this is this big giant part of nature. And here I am, one little part of it. I get to put these turtles in the water. I'll cry right now thinking of it. It's overwhelming. Yeah. Sometimes overwhelming things make you cry.
Right, right. And again, don't be ashamed of that. That's fine. It's good. It's natural. And once you do it, take a moment after you finish crying to sort of think about what just happened. It's a miraculous sort of human moment. You were so overwhelmed with an emotion, even if that emotion is sadness or grief or fear. You were so overwhelmed by that emotion that your body produced tears, and it's something to observe, as Maurice did many times over, because he would allow himself time to cry every day for his circumstance, to be dying from Lou Gehrig's disease, and then he would say, okay, that's it, I'm not going to cry anymore. But he didn't discourage himself from crying. He didn't say, I'm not crying anymore for this ever. He gave himself time every single day to cry. He kind of allowed himself the permission to cry and then looked at it. Listen.
I was born. They went back and analyzed why I was crying.
Right.
That's what I mean by detachment.
Right.
You can be in an experience, then step outside and look at it.
Right.
And that's, I think, the thing that's saving me from not being depressed, miserable, and ready to throw in the towel.
Think about that sentence, to think that's saving him from not being depressed, not being miserable, not ready to throw in the towel, is the ability to cry and then detach and look at that and say, okay, why was I crying over that? Most people say, I'm going to cry because I'm depressed. I'm crying because I'm miserable, because I'm going to throw in the towel. Here he's saying, that's the thing that's saving me from being depressed, miserable, or throwing in the towel, is the fact that I could cry. So it is cathartic. It is cleansing. It is normal. It is human. And
soothing too.
Soothing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, not when you're losing somebody, obviously, because that pain never goes away. But if you're just sad at something, or a lot of circumstances have been building up, and you just want to you know, kind of get it out and just have a good cry, as they say, a good cry. It's an interesting, mm-hmm. it's almost like an oxymoron, right? We think there's no such thing as a good cry, because if you're crying, then things are bad. But that's not true. There is such a thing as a good cry.
Oh, yeah.
And a good cry that cleanses your system and makes you realize, you know what I think it is, Lisa? It makes you realize that you are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for a guy, to know that you are vulnerable to the point that you can cry is actually a strength once you see it all the way through. That very thing that you were fearing, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to let myself cry, I'm not going to cry. Once it happens and you realize, wow, that's I feel kind of cleansed by that, I feel more natural by that, I can do that, and now I can now I feel stronger. It is a strength. It is a strength mm-hmm. to be able to let yourself cry and face your own emotions. Yeah. Because then you're being honest with yourself. Really bothers me. This mm-hmm. really bothers me. And this really hurts me. This really saddens me. And so much so that I'm crying. So, don't hold back on tears. Don't hold back on what is an absolutely natural emotion. And when in doubt, contact Lisa, because she does it every day.
When in doubt, cry it out. Yeah. That's what I say, Mitch. When in doubt, cry it out.
When in doubt, cry it out. All right. Well, it's good advice, and you can hear Maury had much to say on the subject. I always appreciate talking to you about these lessons learned at my old college professor's bedside and chairside, and we hope that you find some value in them as well. If you like what you heard, you can go to our website and find out more at WeTuesdayPeople.com. You can see all the previous discussions, previous shows, get involved in some of the chats with some of our wonderful listeners. Alongside Lisa Goich, this is Mitch Albom saying we will see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode, and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.